Welcome to a new episode of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Gianluca Sola. In this episode, I chat to Frederick Fontang. He just arrived at the Roland Garros French Open. We have a great chat. Frederick is the coach to Félix Auger-Aliassime. And he was also a professional ATP player, reaching a career high of number 59. After that, he went into coaching and he coached many top players, including Jeremy Chardy, Pospisil, and Caroline Garcia. As I said, currently he's coaching Félix Auger-Aliassime, and they have just brought on to in the team also Tony Nadal, which is pretty amazing. So they're working with Tony Nadal, and we talk about his collaboration as well. He's also the coach of the Canadian Davis Cup team, and we just talk about his professional career and his coaching career. It's a great chat. At the end, we've got the famous mega rapid fire quiz. I hope you enjoy it. Please remember to follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook as well. And yeah, hope you enjoy it. Ciao, ciao.
Hello, Frederick.
Hi, Gianluca.
Hello, can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Sorry for the delay, but we had a flight, and then the transportation was very long, and finally they were not able to test us at their arrival at the hotel, so it took a little bit of time.
Okay, it's not a problem. It sounds like you've had quite a crazy day. Where did you fly from? Where were you this morning?
Yeah, it was supposed to be easy because we were flying from Monaco, from Nice Airport to Paris, but we had some delays there were a lot of traffic between the Orly Airport to the Pullman Hotel. We are in the Pullman Hotel for Roland Garros. So.
Okay. Is that the hotel that has that beautiful view of the Eiffel Tower?
Exactly.
That's where most players are staying, I think.
Yeah, all the players, we are at just one hotel,
Oh, all the way. Tell me something. Is it the same as last year? Is there some strict... what is the situation? That you have to be tested every day? How does that work?
Now it's every 4 days.
Okay.
And we can walk for 1 hour every day. We can go outside to walk.
What? Only for 1 hour?
Yeah.
Really?
It's better because last year we were not able to go out. So this year it started to be in every tournament we can go 1 hour to walk outside the bubble.
Oh, wow. Okay. Frederick, I just before we continue, I just want to introduce you. Tell me if I say your name correct. Is it Frederick Fontang?
Yeah, perfect. It's correct.
It's great. Is it okay if I call you Frederick?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, thank you. Frederick is the coach of Félix Auger-Aliassime, which I'm sure everybody knows. Let's say not even a rising star anymore. He is established tennis player, top 20. You have worked for Tennis Canada and coached the Davis Cup team of Canada as well. You have worked with Vasek Pospisil for about 4 years. And in this time, he achieved an ATP high ranking of 25 and 4 in doubles. And you've also worked with Jeremy Chardy and Caroline Garcia. You were also yourself a professional tennis player, ATP player, between 89 and 98. And you reached a career high ranking of 59, which is pretty amazing. And you also won a title in Palermo in 1991. Does that sound pretty good, or have I forgotten something important?
No, that's good. Huh? Everything is there. You know, it's like it was a long time ago that I was playing. Now it's more. I'm getting older and older, but it's everything is correct. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I always start by asking my guest. I actually know you. Okay, you're French, but you were born in Morocco. When did you start with tennis? How did your journey start?
I was born in Casablanca in Morocco because my parents were French and working there for 10 years. So then we moved at the age of, so it was in 76, we moved back to where my parents were born, what in the southwest of France, you know, in Pau. And at the age of 6 years old, I start to the tennis there in Pau, in the southwest. It's near Biarritz and a beautiful place in France with the mountain and the Pyrenees mountains and the Atlantic coast, you know, the surfing place. And I start there in a tennis club, yeah.
Okay. And how did you get into tennis? Was it the parent or were you just very happy to play tennis?
Yeah, my father was playing tennis, you know, like a regional tennis player. Because it was the great years of the tennis in the 70s. And everybody was watching tennis with Villas, Borg, and McEnroe. So, and my parents had tennis shops also. So, well, naturally, I start to play almost every day with my father.
Oh, okay. So your parents were pretty very involved in tennis also with a business. Okay.
Yeah.
Were you a very good junior? Did you play a lot of junior tournaments? How did that work?
So I was like in the best of France between like 10 years old until the junior. I won the Petits As, the famous tournament under 14 in Tarbes, you know, the Petits As.
Yes.
So then I was in the best under 16 in Europe. And I didn't play too much junior tournament ITF because at this time I wasn't with the federation. And at this time, you know, you have to pay yourself all the costs to travel to play the junior. So I just like played Roland Garros and one or two junior events. And I went straight to start to play some satellite at the age of 17, satellite in Spain to get my first points.
Okay. Okay. Also, I think back then the age was a bit younger. You kind of developed quicker maybe in tennis, I think. Compared to today, obviously.
Exactly.
I was just curious, where do you base yourself? Do you work from an academy or do you just work privately? Where do you stay?
You mean now as a coach?
As a coach, yeah.
Yeah, as a coach, all my career of coach, when I stopped to play, when I stopped my career in 99, I built an academy in Pau, in my hometown, with my old coach, because he has a club. And so I did this academy for 8 years. And at the same time, I developed Jeremy Chardy. You know, I started my collaboration with Jeremy Chardy, who he was 12 years old. And then after, when he started to, at the age of 19, you know, when he was traveling a lot, so I stopped my academy because it was difficult to do the both. So since then, after my academy, I'm still working like as a private. I'm working still for Tennis Canada as the coach of the Davis Cup, but I'm a freelance, you know, with Vacek Pospisil or Félix Auger-Aliassime or with Jeremy Chardy or Carlo Garcia. I was and I am still always a freelance.
Okay, I see. I was a bit confused. Are you still working for the Davis Cup team of Canada?
Yeah, I'm still for the moment because the Davis Cup we didn't play last year, but I'm still the coach. Yeah,
okay.
Frank Dantsevich is the captain because he's Canadian. I'm not Canadian, so I am the coach of the Davis Cup team still.
Coach. Okay. So does that mean you also probably, I guess, have to spend quite a bit of time in Canada or
no,
a little
no,
bit?
No, oh, really? I don't have to spend. It's just like when there is the Davis Cup, I am with the team, but this is just my contract with Tennis Canada.
Okay. And Felix, I'm not sure where does he train from? I mean, where does he live? Is it in Monaco?
Yeah, exactly. Since 2 years now, we are our tennis base is in Monaco because his residency is in Monaco.
Okay, so you probably spend more time there, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, when we are not in tournament, we are practicing there.
It seems to be the place where a lot of the youngsters, but also the older ones like Varinka, etc., Djokovic, but a lot of the youngsters are also moving there. It's seems to be the place to be for the professionals.
Yeah, I mean it's very convenient because you are in Europe, and all most of the tournaments, are like in Europe or close to Europe, and there's a lot of players, and it's simple. There's good facilities to practice, for the gym also, and some sparring, some good players. So it's a really easy and good place to practice to be.
Yeah, I saw recently Musetti and
Yeah,
Sinner
yeah,
also moved there. Yeah.
exactly. Urcacho, yeah.
Yes, that's right. I just moving on. I've got a lot of questions, but I'm not going to keep you too long. I'm sure you're very busy now with the French Open. One of the questions I have to ask you is: everybody knows that Felix and yourself have decided to involve Tony Nadal. Is this well, two questions. Why did you involve him? And is this only for the clay swing moment, or is it more long term?
No, the story is last year we decided to add somebody who won the Grand Slam as player or as a coach. So with Felix, we did a list, and Tony Nadal was in our top in the top of our list. So why? Because yeah, we were like thinking that it can be really good to have like to share the experience. It's like when you go hiking, with like the big summit, it's always good to have somebody who already made the way. And Tony Nadal with the value, the education value, the what he did with Rafa, we were like feeling that we were like close from the same values, human values, and dedicated to the work, simple, a lot of humility. So then we decide to contact Tony, and we went to Mallorca, and the alchemy was good, and we decided to work with him. So he came with us in Monte Carlo. We started in Monte Carlo, even if we were like in contact since the beginning of the year, a lot of contact with me and Felix. And then we decided if he was able to travel with us for the Grand Slams, and Madrid. So he was with us in Madrid, and he will be with us in Roland Garros and all the other Grand Slam. That's the what
So
we
it's not
decided.
only the clay, he's also going to be in the US Open or Wimbledon and so on.
Exactly.
Okay, only the Grand Slams. That's fantastic. And how do you get along? Do you is there something that you has surprised you about Tony Nadal now that you know him? How is his coaching method? Is there something interesting about the personality?
No, what I really like with Tony, that is yeah, he's very, he has the passion for the tennis, he's really a good person, because now we can have some exchange more and more. And yeah, first of all, I like the person, the person is very, very good. It's a very good person. So was our top priority with Felix, and of course after, if we can have like one, two, three, four good good advices, each time that we have with him, because it's important that of course we are doing with the team of Felix, we are doing the daily work, but we were like needing Tony for like to have like if he can with his experience, if he can bring like I said, one, two, three good four advice that we can integrate. That's really the goal, and of course we are starting now. We have to find the right alchemy. But for sure, we will find the right alchemy in the coming weeks. But we are not in a rush, It's really because Felix, even if he is in the top 20, he's still young, and of course, we want everybody wants to him to see him in the top 10 to win the big tournaments, you know, but he's still in development, yeah. So we don't have to rush, you know, the process.
Yes. And would you say your coaching styles are very different?
No, we see the similar things. It's a good point. So it's very important that we are not so too far because of course we need to have like a simple communication and not giving confusion to Felix. So of course we have the same vision, you know. And of course, the interesting point that everybody is different. He has a different communication. But when we did the testing and when we choose, we saw right away that we have a good alchemy. So that it's a lot of positive things.
Okay, fantastic. Because I must say I might be completely wrong because I don't know, but I sometimes get the impression he was missing the tour. I don't know if that is correct. What do you think?
Honestly, I don't know because we just started the collaboration, and it's maybe it's more like a personal question for him. You know, important point is like I can see that he's like fully involved with us. You know, with Felix, and of course, I think that. He's passionate about the tennis, you know. He loves the competition. So of course, at one point, when you love the competition, you are missing the competition. So maybe that's why he wanted to do a new challenge with a good player who had the potential to win the big tournaments.
Yes. Next question. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to criticize because somebody of Felix's age. What he's achieved is incredible. I mean, and he's still got so many years ahead of him. But would you say it's correct maybe that one of the things he's lacking is that he gets very far in tournaments, but just is missing that final match or final stage to win a tournament? As I said, it's not that being critical at all. I mean, somebody like him is doing amazing. Is that maybe also why having a winning mentality like I'm not saying you don't have, don't get me wrong, like Nadal, like Tony Nadal, maybe that would help him? Or am I just talking nonsense here?
No, it's this is the reality, you know. But the reality is like Felix and his team, we want him to be better every day, every week. And of course, the reality is like for the moment, the next step is to go to the top 10. The next step is to win, of course, the first tournament, you know. And of course, we prefer and he prefers to start with a big one. But but in the process to add like somebody like Tony Nadal, like a lot of players and a lot of teams are doing that now because it's like the you know the sport. Is very like competitive now. The tennis, you can see that when you play, except maybe you know for Nadal, Djokovic, but sometimes they have like tough match. You know, even so with some players out of the top 10, you can see that every match now is difficult to win. You know, when you play a player in the top 100, the competition is very hard. So that's why it's very important when the player. Have the possibility to have like some a larger team, then you do it because it's very important to stimulate the player, but to also to stimulate the team inside. No, like we have like also two physio, one physio who's traveling a lot, and another one who can manage sometimes a different area of the body of Felix. You know, we take some advice with like different fitness coach. You know, so this is the normal process, I think. Because the competition is so hard, you know, it's like in Formula One, they have like a performance consultant, they have like the manager. There's a when you have the possibility to do it with the money, then of course you do it, you know.
You do it because the margins are very small. Yeah. One last question on Nadal, then I'll leave it. I swear, but this is quite of a cheeky question. Let's say 2 weeks from now, Felix advances to the quarterfinals in Roland Garros, and he has to play Nadal. What advice will you or Tony give him?
No, that we it's good because we already talked about that. But if Felix will play Rafa Nadal, he won't be in our box. We already talked about that. But anyway, Tony will be happy in the both way. You know, if Felix will win or if Rafa win, everybody will be happy in the both way.
But let me ask you the question again. What advice will you give to Felix, and what advice will Tony give him?
I don't know. Me, I know because we already played the Rafa in 2019 in the second round in Madrid in the center court.
Okay.
Felix lost, I think, if I remember well, it was 6-3, 6-4, or something like that. But and, no, of course,
nobody in the world knows Rafa better than Tony on clay. he must know there must be one weakness there. There must be.
I hope that he will know. I think he will give us the advice like the normal advice that he will give to Felix, that if he has to play another player, you know, that's for sure. But we know that he won't be in the box.
Okay, maybe his weakness is the day before he must eat something and his stomach. No, but yeah. Anyway, I don't want to.
Nobody beats Rafa since Söderling. Yeah? So it's a tough one.
Just another question. Okay, I've stopped now with Rafa. Briefly, what would a typical training day be with Felix? And another thing I'm interested in, after a very tough match, what does he do to recuperate? To recuperate.
Yeah, I mean, let's take the last few days that we were like in Monaco practicing and prepare the French Open. Normally, we do two sessions of tennis, you know, 2 times 2 hours, or sometimes longer sessions, more than 3 hours on the court, plus the fitness, you know. Of course, there's always the warm-up, which is like long because he has to wake up the body to do some few exercise to activate the muscle. So it takes 1 hour before the tennis practice. And then there's always like 1 hour of fitness every day at least. And the recovery is like... when he's after a match, he's like you know, doing a little bit of bike, you know, drinking the recovery drinks, and also he spent like at least 45 minutes with his physio, you know, stretching and fix the area that has to be fixed, you know. It's okay. and also it's like when we are in practice mode, there is always a physio with him, and we are working on his body to in prevention of injury prevention, which is a very important part.
Okay, very interesting. Just jumping on with your involvement with Tennis Canada, Canada has got a very, very extremely strong team now. Have you worked with all of the guys? I know you've worked with Pospisil, obviously, and with Shapovalov and Raonic. Have you worked with them as well?
No, just in Davis Cup, you know, which I'm not working, you know, when you are Davis Cup coach, you are just like helping to make the player just they have to do what they have to do, you know, with their coach. But I worked 4 years with Vacek Pospisil, because when we started, he was 114 in the world, and then like you said, until the top 25 in singles and top 4 in doubles, you know, making quarterfinal with Wimbledon singles and winning the title in doubles. So yeah, my involvement was essentially as a freelance with Vacek Pospisil, and then now since 2017 with Felix.
I see. Okay, and it's a bit off topic, but it could be a very, very long discussion. But you don't have to. But do you agree with the Pospisil Djokovic starting their own players organization, or do you prefer not to talk about that?
I mean. My opinion about that is like, of course, that we have to recognize that the ATP Tour, because I was a player, you know, in the 90s, you know, ATP Tour, they were like really did a good job, you know, since more than 30 years now. They improved the tour a lot. You know, there is more prize money for the player, the condition, everything. We have to be positive about that, you know, because our eyes were in the late 80s. You know, it was not the same. That the tour is much better now. But okay. at the same time, you know, I understand, you know, that Novak and Vacek, they want to improve things, you know. And I mean, if it's like if they do it like without destroying, you know, what the ATP is doing, you know, just like to stimulate a little bit and to have a better strength, you know, for the players, you know, to make sure that the players are very well representative, because the ATP Tour now is more like there is the players but also the tournaments. So that means that it's important also that the players can have somebody who is behind them. So anyway, for me, the stimulation is always good. Not the competition, the negative competition, but the competition stimulation is always good, because it's like pushing everybody out of the comfort zone and to make the tennis for the fans, for the player better. It's always good. To try to do that.
Okay. This tennis in France, which you will know very well, France has developed a huge amount of players and always has. Currently, how is the situation, in your opinion? Are the juniors coming through that are very promising?
Yeah, I'm not aware too much, because I'm a lot on the tour, and I'm listening what are the vision of the French Federation, because now is Gilles Moreton is the new president of the French Federation. I know that they are struggling, you know, to have like some good players after the generation of Tsonga, Monfils, Gilles Simon, Gasquet, and Jeremy Chardy, who was I was working for 11 years for Jeremy Chardy. They don't have the same potential for with the young player who are coming, except with Hugo Humbert, who is like still is in the top 30. So I think he can play really well, but they don't have like so much player as before. It's difficult to know exactly, you know, because the system, I think it's quite the same, you know. So sometimes it's difficult to know exactly, you know, because there's some country, of course, why in Switzerland you have their Federer, Wawrinka, you know, and when after they are like struggling to have more players, or in Sweden at a certain time, yes, you know, to have like all those players. It's difficult to know exactly. I just know that the France, they have a lot of money with Roland Garros, so I know that they, of course, the system is very good. You know, they are still very active with the development of the players. But I will say that it will come for sure, because I can see that there is like some good player that they played well in the junior like 2 years ago. You know, Arthur Cazot, you know, he won one match in Geneva, you know, in the tour. So there are like few coming. So I don't think, of course, now we can see in Italy, why, you know, like a lot of players now, why, of course, I think the Federation, they did a lot of positive things, that for sure. But it's difficult always to know exactly what are the parameters, you know.
The reasons, okay. Yeah. Just the final one. Have you got any exciting future projects or maybe players that you would like to work with?
I mean, now I'm completely 100% focused with Felix.
Okay.
With Felix, which is, you know, to do the thing. For me, my philosophy is like when you want to do something well, you have to focus just on one thing, you know. And I have two kids, you know, one wife. So, and of course, they are older now. That's why I can really focus and travel a lot with Felix. But my 100% focus is on Felix now.
Okay, I see. And I'm very curious. You are in Paris, and you will soon start playing the Roland Garros next week. What do you do when you have 1 hour outside to practice? 1 hour is not much. So what do you plan doing?
For me, you mean for myself?
Well, no, I imagine that hour you will spend it with Felix, am I correct? Yeah. So, but what can you do in an hour? Do you just practice hitting the ball or serves, or is there...
When you are close from the competition, there is two kind of practice, that two kind of session. It's important to play just some points, you know, to stay close, you know, from the game, you know, and we do like sometimes some short session to keep the precision, you know, on the serve, on the shot, you know, like tactical precision sessions. That's what we are doing.
Okay, because in 1 hour that does not give you a lot of time.
Yeah, but now it's easy. We can have like more than 1 hour. You know, when we are in tournament, sometimes we can have two sessions of 1 hour or two sessions of 1 hour and a half. So we alternate points and precision sessions.
Okay. And do you still get in the court and are you still play well? Do you give him a tough time?
No, it's very rare that now I play with Felix, because there is a lot of sparring in the tournament. Yeah. So that's good. And but in Rome, twice I played with him. If I don't have to move, it's okay. I'm not missing the ball still.
Okay, Frederick. I usually finish with this mega rapid fire quiz. I will give you, I've got a lot of questions. You can be very, very short, or if you want to elaborate, you can elaborate.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What is your first memory of tennis?
So my first big memory in tennis is when I won Les Petits As, which is a kind of a world champion under 14.
Okay. If somebody has never seen you play, define what type of player you are.
Very solid. Very solid backhand. No mistake.
You're a clay player. Court, exactly. Am I right?
Clay court player.
If you have to take a professional, a current one, who resembles your game the most?
I would say, close from the current tennis player. It's more like when Gilles Simon was playing, you know, because I'm kind of timing, you know, solid from the baseline, yeah.
Okay. Your best shot?
Was the backhand.
Okay. Current favorite male or female player?
I like Barty. I like the game of Barty.
Okay.
Because she's mixing a lot, you know.
It's very nice to watch.
Nice to watch, yeah.
Yeah. You will like this one. List the big three, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, from your favorite to your least favorite.
Sorry, can you repeat?
You must list them from your favorite to your least favorite.
Yeah. Okay. like to, in terms of personality, Nadal, Federer, Djokovic.
Okay.
In terms of game, it's more, if we take the game, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic.
Okay, very interesting. What is the best tournament in the world?
The best, Wimbledon.
What strings and tensions do you use?
Oof, I don't know it was so far. I think I was stringing around 24, but... Okay. At this time, I don't remember the name of my strings. It's too far.
Do you have a favorite all-time racket?
Yeah, I like when I was playing my best, I was playing with Dunlop.
Dunlop, okay. Is there a tennis club or court that is the best that you have seen or been to?
Roma. For me, Roma is my favorite place to play tennis, you know, with the statue, the historical. It's nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's very beautiful. What is the most amazing tennis experience you have ever had?
Yeah, of course. In terms of when I was playing, definitely when I won the Palermo title, you know, against Emilio Sanchez in the final, it's like still my best memory as a tennis player, but as a coach, It was like, when Vacek Pospisil made, when he won the title in doubles in Wimbledon, but I will say even more when he was in quarterfinal of the singles championship against Murray, with the center court of Wimbledon full of people, was very good memories. Yeah.
Amazing, man. Fantastic. You have to book a restaurant and invite three players. You must tell me which restaurant and which players. It can be any era and male or female.
Okay. The restaurant, definitely, but maybe you don't know it's in France. It's like a three-star Michelin. It's Gérard. It's in the southwest of France. It's a very, it's a famous chef. And the place is very, very nice. And I will say, in terms of a tennis player, I will say Federer. I know, Federer, yes. Nadal are the both. Like the personality and the female. Okay. I will say Chris Evert.
Okay, nice convo. That restaurant, I imagine, is the French cuisine.
Yeah, French cuisine. Yeah.
From the south, okay.
Yeah.
Do you like cooking?
Not especially. I like to prepare. Like the time, I open the vegetables. I put the olive oil.
Your favorite food?
My favorite food. I like the couscous. It's like maybe because I was born in Morocco, but the couscous is like when it's really well made, it's fantastic.
Okay. A lot of
pizza also. I have to also pizza. Italian food. Oh, really? Italian food, yeah.
What's your favorite pizza?
For me, it's with the prosciutto crudo.
Ah, okay, very nice, classic. If you, a lot of tennis players are superstitious. Are you superstitious?
No, not especially. No.
Okay. Is Felix superstitious?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. No. Like Nadal doesn't step on the lines and all those things. So.
Yeah, no.
How many hours on average do you sleep a night?
Between 7 and 8.
Okay. Favorite country?
Favorite France? Well, but if we go out of France, I like Italy.
Okay. Favorite city?
Rome.
That's mine too. Very good. Is tennis the most difficult sport in the world?
Yeah, in terms of the quality that you need to have to compete at the highest level. For me, the tennis, you need to be to have the endurance, the coordination, explosiveness. The mental, toughness, because it's a fight, even if you don't give the shots in the boxing. But for me, the tennis is you have to be at high level of technique. For me, the tennis is the most difficult. Not in terms of it's not painful like the boxing, because boxing, I think, is it's the first. With the pain, because when you you receive a shot, it's painful. Yeah. But the tennis is like a For me, it's like similar. It's a fight between two players, without the pain, but you have the psychological pain, And so for me, the tennis is the most difficult.
Okay. If you were not involved in tennis, what would you be doing right now?
Right now, What I like is I like the osteopathic. If I had to choose to do another, I don't have the competence. If I have to come back in the years and not being able to work in the tennis, I would I like to. I don't know if osteopathic. You know what I mean? It's like osteopath. It's like that's the. A kind of like fixing the body, understanding the body and healing the body.
Okay.
Like that,
Okay. In 2050, so more or less 30 years from now, how will tennis look like?
I will say, I mean, I think there is big chance that we are going to change the rules, you know, because of course, like, you know, everybody is talking about like, how can we adapt to keep the fans, you know, because what we know now that's the young fans, you know, they are not able to stay too long in the front on the TV or to watch a show like longer than 1 hour. So I will say the format will change, you know, it's in terms of time. And so I think it will be like the big change will be the change of the format of the game.
The format to make it quicker, basically.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
More entertaining, yeah. I'm going to give you, you have to build your perfect player. It can be male or female, any era. The serve.
So the serve for me, the serve is Ivan Isevic.
Return.
Return is Djokovic.
Forehand.
Federer.
Backhand.
Djokovic.
Is not yours. You said you had a very strong record.
Not as good as Djokovic, unfortunately.
Volley.
Edberg,
yeah. Drop shot.
I was good in a backhand drop shot, but I would say drop shot. Musetti is good, huh? The drop shot. Musetti.
You know, it's something I wrote down. I saw him play 3-4 days ago. That match against not Tsitsipas, but he's very good in drop shot. I must say, yeah.
He played. Yeah. He beat Felix first one in Lyon. And the quality of the drop shot. So we played him in Lyon and in Barcelona. Felix beat him in Barcelona, and Felix lost in 7-6 in the 7-5 in the third in Lyon. But the quality of the drop shot is very impressive. Mm.
Yeah. Movement.
Movement. Yeah, Djokovic also.
Djokovic. Mental toughness.
Nadal.
Nadal. Touch feel.
Touch feel. Touch feel. No, I don't have anybody like Santoro. I will say, but he's
Santoro.
Yeah, Santoro. Yeah.
Have you ever played against Santoro? You have.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
A lot. How is it playing against him? Is it very tricky?
Yeah, he was mixing a lot, very good touch.
Yeah.
You know, it was like
okay.
Unpredictable okay. Player, yeah.
And last one, presence, aura. Don't know if you understand that, aura, yeah, presence.
Presence, aura. Presence, aura. I will say that Stefan Edberg for me was like this kind of a player that we've like... not like I like this kind of personality, you know. Stefan Edberg for me was the one.
Okay, fantastic. Frederick, I really enjoyed it. We are about 40 minutes, so I don't want to keep you longer, and I wish you all the best. You know, I hope you do very well with Felix at Roland Garros and for the rest of the year. But I always end the interview with this question. Ask yourself a question and answer it.
I will say like, oh, Felix will win a Grand Slam in the next couple of years. To keep going and trying to be every day a better player. That's the question I have in mind.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, well, it was great to speak to you. I hope to maybe speak to you again in a few years when Felix has won a Grand Slam. Or maybe sooner. Maybe sooner.
It will be perfect. Thank you, Luca.
Thank you for your time.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao. I'm gonna tell you no matter.